Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us and together, we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Before we explore this topic, I'd like to say a few words about Alice Bailey, the founder of the Lucis Trust. Lucis Trust sponsors this show. Alice Bailey wrote 24 books of esoteric philosophy, and those 24 books are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear in this show. The following thought comes from a book by Alice Bailey, The Reappearance of the Christ. Today, as an outcome of this unfolding divine presence, there is entering into human minds everywhere a new concept, that of Christ in us, the hope of glory. There is a growing and developing belief that Christ is in us, as he was in the Master Jesus, and this belief will alter world affairs and mankind's entire attitude to life. Does this opening thought imply that Christ exists not only in the person of Jesus, but in every human being?
Yes, and this is a belief, a supposition that is not just found in the followers of Christ, the Christians, but we see it in Buddhism, in the concept of Bodhi, which is that of the indwelling light within every human being. The name of Buddha is the enlightened one, but he was a perfect personification of the same quality that exists in every human being, that of Bodhi or lighted substance. And Bodhi is the same spiritually as the Christ principle. In Hinduism, the belief that there dwells within every human being the Atman is a similar concept. And what these various words mean is the realization that divinity, God, dwells not only within every human being, but within every atom of substance in the manifested world. That God is both transcendent and greater than the created world, but also present within every aspect of it. And this is the, I suppose you could say, the dual view of God, that God is both transcendent, greater than the created world, but also immanent, dwelling within his manifestation. And he expresses his presence in a way that we call the Christ principle, that there is this divine potential within every human being. And the expression, Christ in you, the hope of glory, that is taken from the words of Paul in his letter to the Colossians, I think, when he spoke of that mystery. He referred to it as a mystery. And a mystery is essentially something which awaits revelation. And it's interesting that this is exactly what the Christ principle within every human being awaits. It awaits revelation. It awaits expression, realization. You could say it's dormant or latent and awaiting birth.
Yes, and it's there. It's coming to birth, whether we realize it or not. But I think perhaps we get too or there's a tendency to become so identified with the person of Christ, mm-hmm. or the person of Jesus, that we miss the actual consciousness aspect and the soul aspect, which is essentially what symbolically what the Christ was representing. And if we could get beyond the personal identification of Christ as a person, then I think we can begin to expand our understanding and begin to realize that there is more to this than the personal self of Christ.
Yes, I think the problem with concentrating on the man Jesus and his Christhood is that it externalizes a spiritual principle by seeing it embodied only in its perfected form, which was Christ. He was the perfect example of the fusion of the divine and the human. But it overlooks or ignores the fact which Christ affirmed himself, that that same potential exists within every human being. He said, "Greater things than I have done ye shall do." He knew the promise of the human being. He also understood that the path of spiritual evolution is a very long road, and the unfoldment of the spiritual potential of every human being is a long, long process. And if we view our spiritual awakening as something that we have to achieve in just one given life, we can look around us and see plenty of people, including perhaps ourselves, who are not going to make it to perfection, not in this lifetime. So you have to remember that this is a process. We are all works in progress, and we are at varying stages of the way. But the birth of the Christ, the birth of the Christ principle, we could say, is a major step in spiritual evolution. It's called the first initiation. And the role of the mother aspect of Mary is to give birth to that Christ principle. And this is the function of matter. Mary is from the same word root as matter. Matter must be permeated with spirit, and the expression of that joining is the soul, which is really what the Christ principle is, the fusion of spirit and divinity. That is the birth of the Christ principle. And when that birth happens in the consciousness of a particular human being, enough to cause an awakening that leads to a complete turning around of the life and of the entire direction of one's spiritual life, that's called the first initiation.
Yes, and I think the perhaps we get, as I think we mentioned before, we get so caught up in the name of Christ that perhaps some people are turned off by that because they see it only as the person. But if we can, in fact, you can even let go of the Christ and replace it with the soul or with loving sensitivity. So, I mean, and you would be talking about the same thing.
Yeah.
It's Christ, you might say, loving sensitivity in you, the hope of glory, if the using the word Christ is bothersome to you.
The name Christ should not bother anyone. It's from the same word root as Messiah. Messiah is from the Sanskrit, I think, meaning the anointed one. Christ is from the Greek, meaning the same thing, the anointed one. We are all of us looking for the same thing, I think. Calling it by different names, calling it Buddha, calling it the Atman, calling it the Christ principle, no matter. It's the realization, I think, in every human being who has progressed to a certain point that he is created of divine substance. He is made by God. And his duty as a human being is to bring that divine potential into expression, into revelation. And that's the whole work of the Christ principle, is to build forms for the expression of the divine quality that exists within them. And that's why the first initiation has so much to do with the physical aspects of one's conduct of life. The first initiation often results in people taking a great care and focus to the diet, to the outer handling of the life, the sexual practices, yoga perhaps, that kind of thing, to getting their outer house in order. That's the first step. What follows after that is much more demanding and much more subjective, but we begin by putting the form life in proper order to make a fit receptacle for the indwelling divinity.
Yeah, I think that's why perhaps there's been so much emphasis on sin, because that is also usually involved the physical aspect.
Yeah.
And it's been interpreted in that way, in very physical ways. So that's also just an outgrowth or a manifestation of this first initiation, you might say.
Mm-hmm. And it's this realization that the Christ dwells within that causes one to really do a 180-degree turn. How this happens, how this awakening occurs, is, I think, perhaps unique to every human being, but it comes at a certain point in the life, which is called the probationary path in the Ageless Wisdom, when the person sets himself on the path of evolution towards spiritual consciousness. It's a turning away from the pursuit of materialism, from the pursuit of immersion in substance and matter, the pursuit of wealth and fame and power and glory on the outer planes of life. When that no longer satiates the appetites, the desire life, then one turns more toward the subjective level. And that's what prepares one for that first initiation. That's the building of the Temple of Solomon, so to speak, to refer to the Old Testament, the building of a fit receptacle, of a fit and appropriate body or outer form for what one senses is an indwelling divinity that one seeks to realize. Easier said than done. The whole problem is that the human personality for such a long part of the way really acts as kind of a blind or a veil to this indwelling Christ principle and becomes a kind of an obstruction to it rather than a means of its expression.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today, Christ in You, the Hope of Glory. We have a special offer from Lucis Publishing Company, and that's the Alice Bailey book, The Reappearance of the Christ. Many religions today expect the coming of a Savior. The reappearance of the Christ is presented in this book as an event which begins with the birth of the Christ principle in each human heart. Now, this is actually the birth of the soul, the Christ aspect. Now, what I'd like to do, too, is just go back to that opening thought that we had, now that you've heard Sarah and Dale talk about what type of ideas, what themes you might find within the book, The Reappearance of the Christ. I'm going to go back to the quote that we opened up the show with, and I think maybe it might be something that you can really understand better at this point. Today, as an outcome of this unfolding divine presence, there is entering into human minds everywhere a new concept, that of Christ in us. The hope of glory. There is a growing and developing belief that Christ is in us, as he was in the Master Jesus. And this belief will alter world affairs and mankind's entire attitude to life. Now, coming back to the special offer that we have today, the special offer once again is the Alice Bailey book, The Reappearance of the Christ, and the special offer comes in the form of free shipping and handling, so all you're doing is paying for the $16 for the book, which I think when I see the price of books today, they're often much more than $16, but That's the offer today. $16 for the book. Ask for The Reappearance of the Christ. And what you have to do is send a check or a money order, $16, to Lucis Publishing. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S. Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And just write a little notation that you heard about the offer on the show, Inner Sight, and we'll be happy to send it off to you. If you need to get in contact with us for any reason, if you'd like a general package of information explaining Lucis Trust, there's one answer of so many more questions so many people have can be answered right now. And is it a religion? No, it's Lucis Trust is not a religion. People come from all walks of life. They read the literature, and many of them attend our meetings that we have. We have seminars. There's no requirement to attend. But if you'd like to find more about Lucis Trust, give us a call on a toll-free number. We'll send you out a general package of information, 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS, Lucis, L-U-C-I-S. Our website is www.lucistrust.org. And you can find out a lot of information about Lucis Trust on the website. One of the main reasons that people key into the website is to listen to our previously archived library of radio shows. And we have many of them that have been archived at this point, so I think you'd enjoy that a lot. We also appreciate your donations. You've made some very nice donations. We have difficulty. It's quite a challenge staying on the station and paying every week for the radio show. Many of you have helped us out, and you've sent donations to us, and we really appreciate your support. And without your donations, we just couldn't do this show. So please continue to donate. We'd love to continue doing these shows for you. Send donations in the form of check or money order to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Sarah, I'd like to go back to the quote that we opened up the show with, and just make a comment here. If we look towards the middle of the quote, towards the end of the second line, it says, "A belief that Christ is in us as he was in the Master Jesus." Now, many people might be confused by that, because people look at his last name as being Christ, and we're speaking about Christ.
His last name being
Christ?
Well,
Jesus Christ.
Mr. Christ?
Well, that's what people refer to him as, is Jesus Christ.
It's a title. It's a title, an office, we could say. As I said, Christ means the anointed one, and it's a spiritual title of achievement, I guess we could say. His personal name, we are told, was Jesus, or the Aramaic equivalent. And I suppose people who don't believe in his Christhood would not refer to him as Jesus Christ. But Christ means an achievement of full fusion of spirit and humanness.
And also, I liked what you said earlier, you and Dale, and I think it's a way of creating a commonality within all people, and that's the idea that most people don't seem to comprehend. One doesn't have to be Christian to adopt the Christ.
Absolutely not.
And the Christ can be within anybody, regardless of...
He answers to all names. You know. Yeah.
And that's a shame in a way that one group has more or less commandeered.
Absolutely. I think, the writings of Alice Bailey put it the way I believe, that it was a great sin for the Christians to commandeer Jesus Christ as their own, in the sense that it created a barrier to those who don't seek to follow the Christian religion. That was not the intention of Christ. If we think back, there was no Christian church at the time. He incarnated among the Jewish people, and he said, "Other sheep have I not of this fold, them also must I bring." He was completely inclusive in consciousness to a degree that we can only imagine, but he identified with the whole of humanity. He saw no limitations or borders, and it's a great sin that people now view him as the province of one particular religion, and by religion I mean a man-created system of beliefs, which I think is what all religions are. They are divinely inspired, but they come down to a set of beliefs that are created by the best intentions of limited human beings. And on the spiritual level, Christ belongs to everyone who seeks to emulate him and follow his example, whether they give him the credit or not. It doesn't matter. Anybody who lives a life of loving service, of compassion, of inclusive identification is expressing the Christ in his own heart, don't you think?
Well, yes. I mean, it's what Christ symbolized. He came into the world to anchor this great potency of love, the love of God in the world. And that was probably the first time that had happened. And it's taken us maybe 2,000 years to come around to realizing what he really was doing, what he was trying to do at that time. And if we can see it that way, he was trying to bring love into the world and anchor it in human consciousness. And that's what he did. And that's why it's very necessary to kind of look beyond this name of Christ and see it as simply the sole principle of consciousness that is beginning to manifest increasingly more sensitively through every human being.
I think it's helpful to review what the intention of a Christ or a Buddha is. They are called avatars. That's a Sanskrit term that means essentially coming down from far above to anchor something on earth. And that's the role of an avatar, to anchor a cosmic spiritual principle on earth in manifestation. That's their role. Christ, we could say, anchored in a completely new way the divine love. And the point of their incarnation, of these avatars, is to ground something in earthly terms that human beings can then gradually express themselves. And every one of us is accountable for that project. Sooner or later, we are all intended to become expressions of the Christ principle. And that's why he said, greater things than I have done, ye shall do, meaning that all of us are on that same trajectory, we could say. Some of us are more expressive of the indwelling Christ principle, the soul, the love aspect, than others are. But if we look at everyone as a potential vehicle for that divinity, I think it gives us hope and infinite patience and tolerance.
Yes, I mean, it's developing the sensitivity of the soul, and sensitivity to the soul, and bringing that sensitivity into the outer life. And we see this beginning to happen ever since the end of World War II.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a tremendous increase in human sensitivity toward the needs of others, to looking outward towards beyond one's own little personal self to the needs of others. And we see this happening every time there is a great crisis in the world, like a great earthquake or a tsunami or tidal waves that wipe out hundreds, thousands of people. And there's a great outpouring of love towards this people in this situation, the victims. And this is essentially the sensitivity of the soul reaching out. And we have to realize that that's what it is. This is the Christ principle at work within you. And it's incumbent upon every human being to develop that sensitivity, because that's what brings forth the quality of love into the world.
I think, like you say, there is a growing expression of the Christ principle that we see in the world. Why it takes often a disaster or a crisis of some sort to bring it forth, I don't know. That's one of the mysteries of the human makeup. But a disaster like the tsunami that brought forth that almost automatic, instinctive outpouring of not only love and compassion, but of real sacrifice in the sense of generous donations pouring out from every part of the world. That's not just something nice and expressive of goodwill. I really do agree with you that it's an expression of a sense of shared humanity, of a realization that we are one and that we will rise or fall together. This is the Christ principle in expression, that there are no borders that separate us from our fellow human beings, that we do in fact live and breathe as one humanity. And the fact that we registered so quickly and so effortlessly the suffering of the people in the tsunami should give us a realization that there is this enormous potential within humanity that awaits tapping. What would be nice would be if we didn't need a disaster to awaken us. For example, if in the Middle East the people on the differing sides of the war could not set aside their grievances, because those are based on events, but at least recognize that even those they differ with are human beings with whom they share a common humanity, maybe they could find through that sense of universality some kind of new path towards a resolution that they haven't thought of yet.
Is there anything that the individual can do that might serve as a catalyst to actualizing the Christ of the soul principle within everybody?
Well, I would think it would begin with one's own commitment to a more selfless, more compassion-filled and less self-serving existence. We can begin in our communities, in our places of work and residence. We can begin to pay more attention to the larger issues confronting humanity and not just retreat into our own little comfortable world, if it is comfortable. And that's the great danger of the people living in the West, that life is too comfortable and the materialism is too fulfilling for us to be bothered to care about those who are suffering.
Please take advantage of this special offer from Lucis Publishing Company, and that's the book, The Reappearance of the Christ. You've heard a long dialogue now, about a half-hour dialogue on the essence of that book, The Reappearance of the Christ by Alice Bailey. So perhaps you'd like to order it and explore it further on your own. You can go into greater depth with that particular topic. So send us a check or money order. It's discounted today. Send a check or money order, $16, to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.